I'm going to just wrap up the focus topic and just, again, thank you, Outlook Nebraska, for allowing us to be here today. It took a little bit longer than maybe what we had on the schedule, but I think as commissioners, blind consumers, we need to know about what's out there for the blind, and I hope everybody walks away today with just a little bit better insight on what Outlook Nebraska has to offer the blind community. So, Eric, do you have any closing comments before we move on?
I just thank you guys for allowing us to tour, and I echo those words. Outlook Nebraska is not for everybody as an employer and a service provider, and that's absolutely fine. We don't want to try to be too much for anyone. But if we can make an impact, we definitely want to be a part of that process. So it's good to have people in. It's good to build awareness, and it's great to have the commission in here with us. So thank you.
All right. Well, how about a round of appreciation?
Yeah.
And Donna and his executive system. So it takes a team. Next on the agenda is a report from our executive director, Carlos. So, Carlos, let's get you a microphone here. Do you want the stand, or would that help?
Okay.
Oh, you have them. Okay.
Yeah, good enough.
Can you guys hear me better?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to start with the client statistics for the I keep thinking about something else before I start my report, Mr. Chair, about Outlook Nebraska. Several years ago, maybe at least 12, 13 maybe, on my other role when I was president of the NUP, I had invited Eric about the conditions of Outlook Nebraska for blind people and our concerns as consumers. And in fact, talking about not hiring the blind individual.
Is the light on? Sorry, Carlos, hold on one second. Let's see if we can get the mic.
You are not listening to our mic. Can you guys hear me now?
Not through the mic.
There.
Just a little closer.
Okay, how about that?
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was telling the audience that several years, maybe 13 or so years ago, in my role of president of the NSB, we invited Eric to come to our convention and put him on the spot as a consumer with her concerns about conditions of the employees and then about the deafblind individual who wanted to work here. He couldn't work because the machine wasn't accessible. Some rumors that it wasn't accessible, but that he didn't want to hire the blind, deafblind guy. So we put him on the spot, and he said, we're working on getting equipment. I said, well, when? And he said, well, soon. Well, how soon? So I forgot exactly the answer, but I think by doing this again, can see that he put his words to action. So I just wanted to say that Eric, because we just started something, and I want you to know that as executive director of the Commission for the Blind, I can see you put a lot of effort in innovation in this new field.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm not saying that good stuff because breakfast. All right, going back to my report, client statistics for, this is the report for the whole fiscal year ending on September 30, 2018. For all the blind individuals, there were 181 active clients at the beginning of the year, 259 clients were added, making a total of 440 clients in active status. Of these, 309 clients were successful, 31 were close unsuccessful for different reasons, like moving to other states and not wanting further services. 100 clients remained in active states. For independent living services under 55 years of age, 42 applicants were accepted at the beginning of the year. We carried over 4 clients, so a total of 46 clients active that we served. Of these, we closed 7 successful and 3 unsuccessful. And right now, we still have 36 clients under training for independent living under 55. For vocational rehabilitation services, for those in the audience who are not too familiar with the kind of services, we provide, like the chair mentioned, the main budget we gave is for vocational rehabilitation services, around 92%. So with that, this number will make sense to you. 389 clients were accepted at the beginning of the year. 134 were added throughout the year. Totaling 523 clients. Of these, 55 clients were closed successfully. Most of the other clients are still under training and services. We have clients get jobs as assembly fabricators, bill account collectors, customer services, executive, secretaries and administrative assistants, psychiatrists, human resource assistants, movers, random checker operators, post-secondary teachers, child care workers, combined food preparation and server, electrician, account and auditors. Those are just a sample of the kind of jobs we place clients on. In the administration area, Senator Crawford's office called me to inform me that she will not introduce the bill for including PMP services. However, she said that she will sponsor a bill that will exempt the Commission for the Blind from the requirements of LP 429. That bill requires all state agencies to scan and upload all their contracts into the state system for transparency purposes. The human HHS system and the Department of Labor, more specifically VR services, already have an exemption to scan and upload their contracts for client services which has confidential information. The bill that we are proposing, if passes, will not only protect confidentiality to our clients, but it will help us a great deal to save time. Senator Wishart from Lincoln also called me after we met, letting me know that she will introduce the bill to improve the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program. I already saw a draft, and we are improving the draft so the bill can be introduced in January. It looks like Senator Crawford and Wishart talked to each other, because I got the call the same day saying that one will not introduce, and the other one saying that they will introduce. So I guess it shows how they communicate, but I visited with both of them before. The Governor's Policy and Research Office has not responded or given an opinion about this bill, which can be viewed as a good sign, because the Governor's Office is not opposing the improvement of this bill. Some of the meetings or events I attended were the WIOA Partners Meeting, the NAB State Convention, the National Fiscal Conference with Kat Carroll, where we learned a lot of documentation. recommendation that we need to comply, which were not part of our reporting requirements in the past. So it's creating a lot of more work to the business office, but also to our customers. Now, I'm saying this because whenever we make the change and we implement the more procedures that we are required to do that, sometimes there is resistance or unhappiness from our staff members. We do take the steps to provide the training and explain to them why we are doing this. But just in case people complain or talk to you about many changes or too many requirements, these are the reasons. I also attended the regional meeting with Kat and Carol in Kansas City. I also went to the CSAVR conference, and Carol Jenkins came with me to the NCACB conference. In the past couple of weeks, I had conversations with Jane Nelson, the executive director of Radio Talking Boom RTV, to see the possibility of getting extra funds to support RTV. As you will remember, the agency for the client, we, the commission for the client, used to give RTV between $20,000 to $40,000 at one point, and then we had to cut that assistance because we were required to put our services and money to DR services. We were approached by the budget analyst from the legislators asking why we stopped giving those funds. And at the same time, we're asking for more funds for all their client services. So the talks that I've been having with the director of RTV is if they want us to support maybe the way collaborate, they can ask for some extra funds to be added into the other client services. That way we can partner and they can get the extra funds that will be assigned to them through the agency. We don't know if that's going to work. Those are the conversations we are having. I also went to offer Air Force Base to continue the negotiations and have meetings with the teaming partners to start working on the plan of implementation. Kat Carroll, our business manager, submitted a biennial budget request, which includes the $540,000 extra that we are asking for the other blind services. Kat and Julie also submitted most of the federal reports to RSA. We got some licenses on jazz and fusion. And between those two, we don't need all the licenses after we evaluated. And we are saving around $5,000 together for those two programs. As a result of the statewide assessment that we did with Louisiana Tech University, we wrote an action plan to address some of the issues that were addressed on that assessment, and we forwarded that to RSA. So we are waiting for them to respond. Now, we got a new team assigned from the Rehabilitation Service Administration of RSA, and we are going to wait for the response. Due to our success on expanding our pre-employment transition services, we were asked again to do a presentation at the NCACB conference this last week, and Carol Jenkins did a great presentation yesterday. As I said at that conference, I reflect upon the type of services that we, the Commission for the Blind, are doing on transition services for over 25 years, over 30 years. And when we started our services, we were questioned that we shouldn't expect too much. much time on finding on transition age students. We will do, you know, rock climbing. We were pioneers on those things. We were doing challenging activities. First time that we were away from the parents, working, making money. We knew that investing on them at an early age, it was going to pay us back later. Well, now it's nice to see that a lot of other state agencies are doing the same. It's just fascinating to see that. Also, seeing that there are new innovative stuff. There is a professor from actually the federal government. He gets funds from the federal government, from NASA, and from the, I forgot his other name, GitHub. He is giving training to blind youth on robotics, STEM, cyber, and the computer science. And the way they are doing it is they get the students between 15 to 25. They bring all the equipment, 100 pieces of different things. And in a few days, they help the students build their own robot. We are going to be getting him to come to Nebraska. They do two kinds of training. One is to the students themselves, and the other one is train the train. So if anyone wants to share that information with you, maybe I'll look at that one if you want to. But the more we do this, the more our students are introduced to science. Okay. The hearings for amending our rules was back in September 13. We sent the proper documentation to the governor's office and the secretary of state, and we need to wait until they get back to us on those rules. If we do amend, or if the Unicamera amends our NPE law, we will have to amend Chapter 3 of our rules. In regards to fusion, the new state system, which will get together different state system, accounting systems for state employees to use, we continue to work on the testing for accessibility, and we will have another meeting with Oracle, hopefully in January. We were going to have it in 2 weeks, but they had to cancel for some issues. Under human resources and training, as you know, Bill Brown retired on August 7th. Elaine Cadillac announced that she will retire by the end of March of 2019. We hired Sarah Martin to be the new MPE manager, and her first day was last Monday. She will be on training for the 600 hours under the same chiefs. We will have our state staff meeting in April of next year in Lincoln next to our offices. And I'm pleased to announce that the Friends of the Commission are providing some coffee and some kind of breakfast for staff members or some snacks. So that's nice, because we might have some money, but we are not allowed to spend food on money. So thank you, Robert, and let the friends know that we are very thankful about that. That helps the morale of staff members. Our staff continue to take initiative and opportunities to get training on a variety of areas in order to serve our clients better. Kim Schnitzer, the year counselor from Omaha, graduated from her master's in social work this last summer. Angie Hoff got certification on psychological first aid. Adrian Moody and Charlie Salzman finished their certification on auditing and passed the test. This kind of pre-audit certification is required for staff members to work on paying bills and helping the business office. In the field services, Connie continued to minister, they quarterly, I'm sorry, the monthly meetings, and we have Pan Berinsky to talk about assessment tools for youth. We also have a conference call to talk to counselors more about the 5 required areas for pre-ed services and the different activities we can do for each required service. Carol and Greg Duong, our general supervisor of the center, will start attending the National Institute Rehabilitation Leadership Institute in December after they finish their 4 weeks training, which is within a year and a half. The leadership team and the supervisors will all complete this training, and it's going to help us to communicate better so we all can push our goals under the same direction. The week of October 15, several staff members were recognized for their years of service to the state. Diana Jesse, 30 years. Connie Daly, 25 years. Shane Hirsch, 20 years. Tom Ward, 20 years. Kelly Coleman, 20 years. Carlos Servar, 20 years. Kate Schneider, 15 years. And Larry Olson, 10 years. Erin Bradley Berry, the Northland District Supervisor, is on maternity leave. And Connie Daly and Nancy Flero are taking turns on supervising the Northland District. I think she's going to be back in December. Lincoln started another job class with 7 participants. They attended the job fair last Friday, meaning a week and a half ago, or 8 days ago. And clients have the interviews on the spot, and as a result, I understand that one of the clients had a job on high need. Staff members also continue to attend networking events. There is a group in Lincoln where employers come and talk to the different attendants about the need of different employees or the kind of employees they are looking at. That also helps us to know the type of jobs that are available there for our clients. This group is being replicated in Omaha and in Norfolk. Connie is the planning committee for the project search job fair, which will take place next year in April. For those who don't know, a project search is a partnership with hospitals and hotels and the public schools to work with multiple disabled students. Several of our staff members are involved in that project. Each district is also involved in the local WIOA board. Most of our staff members got some training on time management. Staff members have been attending a number of webinars on evaluations, additionally interviewing and engaging businesses. Talking about engaging businesses, one of the things I learned when I was at the NCSAB conference, the data managers from the Rehabilitation Services Administration were given the new statistics of performance, and one of the performance that they are measuring is measuring skills or improving skills of the people we serve. And they read the 10 top states. The Nebraska line is number 2. Number 1 was New Mexico.
Richard, that you said that we were second in which category?
Measuring skills. I think, Carol, you know that term better than I do. Yeah, sorry. It's very much the type of educational clients are getting, and they are getting more certifications and more training.
Okay, thank you.
It's measuring.
Measurable skill gains?
Pardon me?
Measurable skill gains?
That's it.
Okay.
Measurable skill gain, yeah. Number two, nation.
You can measure it.
Yeah. Our staff members continue to attend meetings with the public schools to continue providing the pre-employment transition services. And as a result, we are getting more referrals from the public schools. Counselor has also involved more with the ABE program. Also attended the NFB State Convention. Omaha staff attend some time with the Academy of Eye Surgeons and Doctors Conference held in Omaha. This was an opportunity to network with physicians and their staff about the importance of early referrals. As part of the negotiation with the Veterans Affairs to avoid arbitration, the director of the regional VA talked to me about how we place clients in different jobs and that they would like us to train their staff members so they can train their blind veterans and they can go back to work. He says that most veterans think that the life is over. So they have the new coordinator of independent living and peer services, and she met with our Omaha staff, and she also already came to tour the center in Lincoln. The Omaha staff also attending an event with the Omaha chapter, watch a movie to you, Dreaming Color, which really helps people to know what blind teenagers go through. Nancy Flerol and Carol work with Channel 3 from Omaha to develop PSAs. And I think those are the already, right on, Nancy?
Yes.
I've seen it several times.
You saw it?
A lot of people have seen it.
Okay. Our staff continue to network with employers. And also they continue to develop on the job training and work-based learning experiences. Now this work-based learning experience is the same in job coaches, it's just that we are not supposed to call it job coaches, but they are doing work-based learning experiences because the pre-aids required area does not allow us to spend money. That's all we have to change in the end, right? It's the same service. The state office building in Omaha is going through some renovation and is affecting the front desk and some of the counselor's offices. They should be completed in the next few weeks. Some of our staff members have been also attending the Lincoln County meetings, the community connections. The aging community in Carmen. The elderly issues in Carmen, as well as serving on some boards from different state agencies.